Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, January 22nd, 2021. Today we are reading from the Big Book on page 31, the last paragraph. Today's readers are Christina M. reading the 12 Steps, Denise D. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Lois P., Jody E., and Jordan L. Our share IDs for the last two meetings. Yesterday, 10 a.m. Vision for You meeting on January 21st, the share ID is 16,243, or 16243. And this morning's meeting at 7 a.m. East Coast time on January 22nd is 16,248, or 16248. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Christina M. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina M. Denise D., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you for your service, Denise B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study on page 31 of the Big Book, the last paragraph on the page, which begins, "We do not like to pronounce any individual as alcoholic." And I will ask Lois P. to get us started this morning. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. We do not like to pronounce any individual as alcoholic, but you can quickly diagnose yourself. Step over to the nearest bar room and try some controlled drinking. Try to drink and stop abruptly. Try it more than once. It will not take long for you to decide if you are honest with yourself about it. It may be worth a bad case of jitters if you get a full knowledge of your condition. Well, absolutely. For me, take me to a buffet. That's all I needed to know. When I would show up at a business buffet or a holiday buffet, any kind of place where food was free for the taking, that's when my situation became very obvious to me, that there was something really wrong. Of course, I knew it my whole life, because even as a child, during family holidays and family meals, if there was a dessert, I couldn't wait to get to it. I don't care what age I was, it was just in me that became my obsessive thought, was to have more of that food. And it was always, of course, the simple sugars and the desserts. I had no idea what was wrong with me, but I knew that I could not stop. Once the idea was in my head that I was, let's say, going to a party or going out to dinner or going to a store to go shopping, the thought that was predominant, it was like a mantra almost, was, what am I going to get for myself? When can I eat this? And even if I went into a store and did weekly shopping for our family and brought some desserts, whether they were healthy or not healthy, I couldn't get them home without eating them in the car. So for me, that was absolutely clear. I was out of control. I didn't know what to do about it. It took me many years of going out to dinner on dates and then having no dessert there, but knowing in my head I couldn't wait to get home to have something. Or preparing part of the family meal when we'd have large gatherings for the family. And all I could think about was the dessert table. And if I was bringing it, forget it. It never got there, or I'd have to make a duplicate of it. It was really sad and depressing. I look back at it now, and I just thank God I no longer have that drive, that obsession to go and get something that's sweet, that's going to fix me. My addictive behavior has been calmed and subdued thanks to this program, thanks to the steps, thanks to the higher power that really is the center point of my life. So there is no question for me. I cannot stop once I start. If it's in my body and in my brain, I cannot stop thinking about it. It's an embarrassment. I would try to hide how many times I went back for a second, whether it was with family or friends. I could not stop thinking about that dessert those things that used to make me feel at peace in the world, at peace with life. That was my drug of choice. And now, thank you, God, thanks to this program and to the wonderful people in it, I am free of this. It's an obsession that no longer runs my life, and there's no question for me. I know I am a compulsive overeater, and for today, thankfully, gratefully, I am recovered. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you so much, Lois P., for getting us started. And I'm now going to open up the meeting for people who want to share. I want to remind you that we ask that if you shared in the last 2 days, that is on Wednesday or Thursday, that you step back and let others share so that everyone gets to share their experience. So who would like to share today?
Sherry KB.
Laura W.
Okay, Sherry. One second. Sherry KB. Laura W. Mo H.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Jordan L.
Okay, I heard Jordan L. Who else?
Susan L.
Susan L. I thought I heard maybe a Christine or a Kathy or something.
Danielle W.
Danielle. Okay, let's stop there because I have a long list of Sherry KB, Laura W., Mo H., Roz G., Christina J., Jordan L., Susan L., and Danielle W. And we will have time for more after these. So, Sherry KB, please get us started.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathy, and Team Friday, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. You know, this paragraph is so important because I can't, nobody can tell me if I'm a compulsive overeater. I have to understand it. I have to concede to myself that I am a true compulsive overeater and that I don't do it for anyone else. I have to look at myself. And what I do know is that this chapter is about why I come to OA, why I am a compulsive overeater. That's what I like about this chapter. The whole chapter is describing, you know, who I am, that I am a true compulsive overeater, and that it's all about my powerlessness, and it's all about the obsession of the mind. And so, you know, I was always obsessed about trying to be able to eat what I wanted and to quit when I wanted to, but I never could. I don't know about you, but I never could. And when it says, you know, try to eat and then stopped abruptly. That never happened for me, especially, you know, any food almost, but definitely my alcoholic foods. And so, you know, it talks about if I'm honest with myself, if I, you know, look at my own record and I look back on decades of trying to control and manipulate and, you know, being obsessed around the food and caring more about the food at times than I cared about the people I was with or the celebration I was at or whatever was going on, that food always came first in my mind. Going to restaurants, looking up what was there and if the desserts were good enough, and then I'd want to go, and then, you know, sneaking off or hiding or whatever. I mean, I have such a history around just proof that, you know, I am a true compulsive overeater. And interesting enough, yesterday a woman called me and we were discussing that very thing. And it turns out, you know, because in this book it also talks about a moderate eater and a hard eater. And it turns out that she's not one of us. She diagnosed herself. We talked about it, but she wasn't. My hat's off to her, but, you know I am a true compulsive overeater. And I had, you know, I had to know that at the very core in order to surrender, in order to know that without this big book, without the steps, without all of you, of course, without my higher power, I mean, because the whole idea is to get unblocked and connect with my higher power, I won't make it. I will stay face down in the food the rest of my life if I don't do this work and help others and stay recovered. And I am a true compulsive overeater. And thank God, it's almost like a relief to know instead of feeling so insane. And I pass. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Sherry KP. Laura W., please share with us.
Thanks, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, you know, they're very humble here when they wrote the book. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to point our finger at anybody, but you can diagnose yourself. Like, I don't need to be part of the research and development committee anymore. I was part of that committee trying to figure it out myself for so long. And this paragraph reminds me of something that is said on page 372 in a story called Flooded with Feeling. And it says that he was talking to the sponsor, this gentleman, and the sponsor said, he even suggested that I could try a little control drinking if I wasn't sure. I knew I had never been able to do that. I didn't have to do any more research. All I had to do was review the drinking I had already done. And, you know, we're not told what to do here. I'm just told what others have done to recover. And the biggest word that stands out in this paragraph that we read today is honest. So there's a promise here that, you know, it won't take long for you to decide if you are honest with yourself about it. And I have to be rigorously honest about what foods cause the allergy of the body. And I came into the 12-step rooms through a treatment center. And it says here, it may be worth a bad case of the jitters. They had me in a detox ward for 3 days with a heroin addict as my roommate. And we were both having the same symptoms coming off of our drug of choice. And this was as, you know, as an underweight anorexic, because all I ever ate was fat-free sugar. And it's amazing what the sugar did to me, what it did to my mind and my body. I actually had physical jitters and shakes and nausea coming off of this. And I had to be honest with myself that, you know, I can't have it in any form, in any amount, not even a little bit, not because it's my birthday, not because I ran 5 miles, not because, you know, it's not... The honesty is, and I tried, you know, I had relapsed about 18, 19 years ago because I was, quote unquote, redefining my abstinence, when in reality, I was just redefining my honesty. I could have a little bit here. I could have a little bit there. I've been, you know, I'm not overweight. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is I have an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind that tells me once I start, I can't stop. And I know it. I know it today. It doesn't matter how long I'm recovered. If I pick up my drug of no choice, I could be in relapse by this afternoon. I choose not to because God's carrying me through this 12-step program one day at a time, and because I do, you know, I do what works. What did I do yesterday to stay abstinent? I'm doing the same thing today, and I'm grateful for that. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. Mo H., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict in Walnut Creek, California. Thank you, Kathy, for your service and all those giving service at these meetings. Well, the title of this chapter is called More About Alcoholism, but I have renamed it or heard other people say it's more about relapse. It describes the mental obsession or the mental twist that goes on in our minds before, goes on in my mind before I pick up. So that's my little titty here. But I want to focus in on the word quickly. You can quickly diagnose yourself, and it'll not take long for you to decide, well, that is not me. I couldn't quickly diagnose myself. I've been in the rooms for 25 years before I had the jitters, before I picked up and was going downhill to the depth of insanity. It took me a long, it may be worth a bad case of jitters if you get a full knowledge of your situation. So I did get a full knowledge of my situation during my last binge, which was 5 years ago, a couple of months ago. And I'm so grateful to have found this meeting, which has been a big help, and studying this book, which is a big help. But I picked up and I knew what I was doing while I was eating, and I could not stop myself. I just continued for 2.5 months. And I really believe it was God that made me pick up that phone and call someone who really focused me into this big book and the studying of it, which was an eye-opening experience. So I can't stop once I start, so I'm not going to start no matter what. No matter what goes on in my life right now, I'm having big hurdles that I need to walk through, and I'm walking through them with God. My next big one is income taxes. I've never done this. My husband always did. And so I'm looking at it as an experience, a growth, rather than as, oh, God, I get to do this. But that is only a result of working these 12 steps, which is a design for living, not just for my eating. But it's a design for living, and I just love that, you know, we have this program. I have focus every day in my life because of this program, and I am grateful for everyone on the line. Thank you, Kathy, for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Mo H. Roz G., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Roz G., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the city of Palmdale, California. And the last time I shared on A Vision for You, I got admonished by the moderator for mentioning some things that I shouldn't have mentioned. And this is very applicable to this reading right now. So I'm going to I don't want it to be like I'm getting off topic, but it was very painful for me, embarrassing, and I got over it. So I'm back to sharing again. But I don't like for people to tell me things about that are true about me. Like, you know, my sister told me, well, you could stand to lose a few pounds. This was like the 15 or 16, whatever, 18 years ago that I first came to OA, because I was so angry at her for saying that to me. I'm grateful to her to this day. But still, nobody could tell me. I don't like people telling me the truth about myself. It's a pride issue. And so I had to go through, you know, extreme amounts of pain before I could diagnose myself. I could not do it quickly, just like the other sharers. I had to experience so much pain. And also, as the lead share, the buffets. Oh, my gosh. I love the home, the buffet in my neighborhood. So just to say that I'm grateful for this, for A Vision for You. I have found my abstinence, a way of life, a trust, and a comfortable way of sharing here in this meeting, in these meetings. I've been abstinent truly since the last July, almost 2 years, it'll be in July, after, you know, 17, 18 years in this program. And sometimes I have to endure some painful lessons and to reflect on, you know, character defects or truths about myself in order for me to get better. And so I'm here to stay whether I feel pain or not. It's just a part of life. And I'm so grateful that through pain, I had to diagnose myself as a true compulsive overeater. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Roz G. Christina J., please share with us.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Christina J. from the state of Washington, recovered for today. Such pain, so many years of suffering, trying to figure this thing out and trying to control it with diets. And I knew I had a problem. I didn't know exactly what it was called for years. And it took me years to find the big book and to begin to, God began to gently take me through the realizations in it. But, you know, the only time I really thought I could control something is when I was like, I thought, oh, well, maybe this is it. I'll have a full meal with protein and fats, and then I'll have a little bit of your cheesecake. And that didn't work. It took a few days, but the allergy came back. And nobody ever told me, hey, you're a compulsive overeater. The only thing I got from my second husband, God bless him, was that, you know, get your fat ass in the house. That hurt. I was ashamed. So I carried shame and pain around with this disease for years, and just frustration and all of that. And I chased the carrot of trying to fix this. I knew it must have been brain chemistry, and I've shared about this before. I knew it must have been if I just put the sugar down. And I, you know, one day I had horrible, horrible cravings, and I went to the post office, and they said to make calls. So I was trying to make calls. Nobody was available, and I thought, well, I'm going to try something. I'm going to go get a candy bar, and I'm going to see if my cravings go away. And they went away. And I thought, this is brain chemistry. This is blah, 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 you know. But then I couldn't stop. One candy bar didn't take them away. They just came roaring back. It just triggered the allergy even deeper. So there's no control. I was always out of control around this. The only thing that controlled me a little while was diets and some false hope. You know, we can get on those false hopes, and that gets us going on the pink cloud of the diet and everybody in the room losing weight and all that. It's just BS for a compulsive overeater. And then, of course, the relapses. And what was that about? It was about the fact that I kept telling myself I could take a bite. Now, that's experimentation. I could take a bite, and I could get back on tomorrow. That's just another round of BS because I haven't surrendered. I haven't learned the lesson that one bite isn't going to do it, even though, I mean, I had hundreds of one bites. And they didn't, you know, they led to a complete insanity of binging and pain and shame and denial and all of that. Today I'm neutral on food. Today, as long as I stay close to HP. Today, as long as I have the willingness to keep going, you know, and I said this the other day on a meeting, I heard a fellow say, willingness leads to God's grace. He helps you. If he sees that you're willing to walk away from the food and turn to him instead. And it's not just sitting there praying. For me, I had to actually reach out to fellows. I have to reach out to fellows for help because, you know, I'm still in control mode. I can control things, and I'll just say a quick prayer and go on. Sometimes that doesn't work for me. I've sat in the bathroom for an hour trying to wait for the cravings to go away praying. I got to reach out. Do not deny the power of the phone. Do not think that you're going to bother somebody. We want to help. We want to help. We don't want to go back to the horror, and we cringe when someone else is living in it. So anyway, thank you for letting me share. Love you guys, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Jordan L., please share with us.
Hey, good morning, Kathy. my name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be on a meeting in abstinent this morning. I'm very grateful to all the folks that have shared so far. your guys' self-honesty helps me be more honest with myself. and what I love about this paragraph is that it kind of begins our transition into this realization that we're beyond human aid as real compulsive overeaters. There's nothing of this world, this human world of ours, that's going to arrest this for us or stop it or contain it. it's kind of out of the hands of human aid. And I think that starts with that first sentence, right? About diagnosing yourself. That's the only way to do this. You can get, you know, the best diagnostician in medicine to diagnose you as a compulsive overeater, and it doesn't matter. It is of no avail, you know. I know for me, like my biggest block to picking up this solution is my own defiance, you know. And so I assume that that's probably the same case with all of you too, you know. there's no even the best doctor in the world is not going to be able to help me with this because I'm beyond human aid. and it's really only honesty that's going to get me anywhere. and I like that it references a full knowledge of our condition. Knowledge is not my solution by any means, but it is 100% necessary in order to understand what it is that I'm dealing with. If I'm dealing with a condition where I am beyond human aid, then the only solution that I have is something beyond the human world, you know? And I have to understand, I have to have a full knowledge of my condition. For me, I had to have a full knowledge of my condition in order to seek that solution beyond the human world. God was not the answer I wanted when I got here, for sure. but I'm glad that it's my answer today. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. Susan L., please share with us. Susan, press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, I'm sorry. My name is Susan L. I'm calling from South Florida. I've been listening to A Vision for You for a few months now. This is my first time sharing, and I don't know why I yelled my name out, but I did, and I'm grateful that I did. I guess I just wanted to comment, first of all, and say that thank you for this being here for me. I am 58 years old. I went into OA when I was 17, so I've been in and out of OA for 40 years, and this has breathed new life into me. A Vision for You has breathed new life into me, and I'll comment, as you suggest, on what was read about, and it talks about in the big book about, you know, diagnosing. I wear my disease physically, so anybody and everybody diagnosed me all the time. The diagnosis was one word, fat, and I was. And that fat, for me, equaled shame. So I lived my life before this program with all shame and all fat all the time. It didn't take a bar mitzvah or a wedding or a buffet table or a Tuesday or whatever it was. I ate all the time. I had absolutely no control. And it wasn't until I walked into my first OA meeting in 1979 and they said, you don't have to have control. And they said to me, it's not your fault. I had been waiting my whole 17 years to hear somebody tell me it was not my fault. My pediatrician told my mom when I was 7 and I weighed 100 pounds that, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, you have a problem. We have a problem here. Stop feeding her. How do you stop feeding a child? How do you, you know, not give the child what the child wants? I was a child. I didn't know any better. My mother didn't know any better. This disease as I mentioned, just gave me shame. It robbed me of feeling good about myself. It robbed me of experiencing what I thought at the time was a normal life. By the time I walked in here and I was 17, I weighed 300 pounds. I did, at the grace of God, entered my life at that time, and I did lose a terrific amount of weight. I spent the next 40 years in and out. I'm back now, and I'm back with a vision for you, and I'm back with a vengeance, because now I believe that this program or this design for living and the big book is how I'm going to keep the weight off again this time. You know, honestly, if I could eat what I want and I didn't wear it, I don't know where I'd be, but I wear it, and I wear it with a badge of shame. And the shame badge, thank you, God, is off my goddamn chest today, and I am so grateful to be a part of this, so grateful to have you people to listen to. And when I saw that there was like 8,000 people, and I hear that there's 4,000 people at a meeting at one time, I know I'm in the right place. So thank you, thank you, thank you for letting me be a part of this, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan L. Please keep coming back. And Danielle W., please share with us.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Danielle W., a compulsive overeater, recovering one day at a time in Southern California. I don't know why I'm suddenly having trouble speaking. Excuse me. You know, this is one of my favorite paragraphs in this book. I mean, there's so many, but this one is such a powerful, powerful paragraph in my life because it tells me you can quickly diagnose yourself, quickly. And I feel like I've spent almost 50 years in my life feeling like I was just like everybody else. You know, there was a new diet every year that everybody got excited about. It felt like everybody around me had weight to lose. You know, we were all sort of working toward that goal together. And so it was very easy for me to pretend that I was just like everybody else. And with this, these simple questions, you know, try controlled drinking. Just try. Try to drink and stop to broccoli. Try more than once. It's so simple. It's such a simple guidepost. And I could see very clearly I'm not like everybody else. Some people can lose weight. Some people just need to learn more about nutrition, you know. Some people have the right motivation, but that's not me. That's not me. And now, because of this kind of paragraph, it's very easy for me to be able to see clearly. I'm a compulsive overeater. And by understanding that, by diagnosing myself, something nobody else could do for me, now I can be open to my higher power. I can understand that there's a program of recovery that's available to me, that I can identify in, and I can do the work. I loved what one of the speakers spoke about at the buffet, and I think about, for me, you know, I would go to an event, and I was very good about putting a very small plate together because I didn't want anybody to see what I was. There was too much shame in that. But then I would obsess the entire event on how to sneak more, how to get more, how to hide more. And, you know, today, because of the grace of my higher power and this powerful program, I get to be present. I don't have to be in shame or embarrassment or dishonest. And I get to connect with my fellows. I get to be present. I get to, you know, get closer to the people I love, because there's not food blocking my way. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Danielle W. We have time for about three more shares. And again, we're sharing on the last paragraph on page 31 for those of you who came in late. Who would like to share?
Kathy B.
Barbara W.
Okay, I heard Kathy A.
Carolyn S. from New York.
Kathy V.
Kathy Z.
Robin P.
Oh, my goodness. Carolyn, who is that?
Carolyn S. from New York.
Okay, Carolyn S. So I have Kathy A., Kathy Z., Am I correct?
Barbara W.
Okay, I'll put you down, Barbara, but we may not have time for you. Kathy A., please go ahead. I want to make sure. Was there a Kathy A.?
Kathy, I think it was me, Kathy Z.
Oh, okay. Kathy, thank you. Go ahead, Kathy Z.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you so much for your service. Thanks, everyone, for being on the line. This is Kathy Z from Washington State. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. So when I came to program, I was already dealing with the challenges of other addictions where, if I could just try that or I could just try this. And so I was in a different program, and I had a good friend at work who was in Overeaters Anonymous. And being the conduit of God that she is, she led me to OA because it was very apparent that I had some problems with food by the way I looked. And so that's how I came into OA. I had no idea that I had a problem, an addiction to food. And I knew that with the difficulties I was dealing with in trying to control my life and it finally coming to a head that I can't control my life, then it became, I can't deal with my life, can't deal with making the important choices I need to make. So I'm just going to run to the things I'm addicted to, run to food, run to things and associate myself in harmful ways. And so that's kind of where I was when I came into program. And so the first program I was in was not doing a big book study. So OA was doing the big book study. And what a beautiful gift it was to be able to open this big book and to have an explanation of why my brain is different. I just thought, like in this paragraph, that everybody dealt with the difficulties of, I'm going to change this time and maybe I'm going to try this, or maybe if I just do this one weekend, or, I just thought that was normal for everybody and that it was my fault that I wasn't able to figure it out or have this willpower. So it was the gift of this big book that showed me what was really going on, and that we'll see on page 33 this peculiar twist in our mind that happens all the time is unique to the addict. And so that was very, very freeing to understand that I am an addict, that there is a solution, there is hope, and that with the help of working these 12 steps and growing every day in my relationship with my higher power, that I can trust my higher power is going to interfere with that peculiar twist in my brain that wants to happen over and over again. So whenever that peculiar twist comes up where I think that I can take part in something that's harmful to me or pick up something that's harmful to me, because of working these steps, I can trust higher power to intervene. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for all of you. I'm grateful for this program and growing every day in that relationship with God. I appreciate His grace. So thank you so much for letting me share. Have a great weekend. God bless everyone.
Thank you, Kathy Z. Caroline S., please share with us. Caroline S., are you there? Okay, I don't know what happened to Caroline. How about Barbara W.? Are you there, Barbara?
Hi, this is Caroline. I'm sorry, I accidentally hung up.
Okay, go ahead, Caroline.
Okay, I'm Caroline, a recovering compulsive overeater in New York. I'm really grateful that I was able to get on the meeting today and hear what I needed to hear. I am a true compulsive overeater. I have no reservations of any kind, no lurking notions that I can ever be normal. I've proven to myself over many years and countless failures to control my eating that I am not normal. I'm just not. And I don't want to be abnormal, but I am. And it's not going to change. I'm not going to, you know, outgrow this. So what does that mean? That means that I have to find a power greater than me because I can't do this. So where is that power? That power is in God. And where is God? God is inside me. Deep down inside every man, woman, and child is the fundamental concept or idea of God. God is literally inside my body with me every moment of every day. And I don't have to fumble around for him. I don't have to beg him. If, you know, God does not make too hard work of those who seek him, right? He's always ready to help. When I lose touch with God, it's my fault, my responsibility. I've let go of his hand. His hand doesn't move. I'm the one, you know, like in the portrait of in the Sistine Chapel of Michelangelo and God, all Michelangelo has to do is lift his finger two seconds, you know, 2 inches, and he will touch God. So it's for me to do that. It's for me to row to shore. You know, God directs. I heard an analogy once where somebody is rowing to shore and they're rowing backward. They can't see the shore, but God is standing on the other end of the boat guiding things, and all the person does is row. And that's how I see my life today. I am rowing, and God is directing. I am the child. He is the father. And as long as I remember that, as long as I keep right sides, as long as I do the daily work every day, not when I feel like it, I will live in recovery. I can be of service, which is the fundamental purpose, I believe, of every man, woman, and child. We are here to help each other. That is my primary responsibility and privilege. And when I choose to put myself first, I not only am not happy, I am defying God's will. And that is, you know, unnatural and will never make me happy. What I need to do is put God's will first and beg every day for him to show me his will for me and give me the power to do it. I got abstinent January 1st, 2021. And that night, my dad had a stroke. And I have remained abstinent. And I know, you know, I was binging the day before, so I know that's not me. God said, okay, there's something coming that you can't handle. I'm going to lift the food obsession so that you can manage this and be of service to your parents. And that's exactly what he did. I have not had any food thoughts since January 1st. I just found out my father has COVID, which he got in the hospital or the rehab center. I didn't have to run and eat. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Caroline S. Barbara W., can you take a 2-minute share so that we can end on time?
Yes, thank you very much, Kathy, for your service and all the other people on the line. Yes, the one word that jumped out at me from this paragraph was the word knowledge. And my family, knowledge was like everything. I mean, getting your education was the answer to everything. And I quickly became aware that knowledge might have gotten me through my years of education, but somehow my difficulties with excess food and toxic food was not being taken away by knowledge. And, well, of course, if knowledge, well, then I don't buy the food. Well, then I don't go to grocery stores. Well, that didn't make sense. But knowledge was probably the greatest handicap I had. And it was only when I've been in this program since, 43 years. And even before that, there was an awareness that eating a certain amount of excess food was somehow not quite the norm. And, I actually started out in this program at the same weight I am now. And that weight got much higher, which totally quelled the idea that knowledge was not working. And it was my greatest gift from my higher power that I turned to God. I turned to a source of power that I knew somehow that had to be the answer. And it turned out to be right. So I am grateful for the persistence of my perseverance in this program and my gratitude for finding this power that has always been there. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara W., and thank you to everybody who has shared and listened today. What a lovely meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Jody E. to read for us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.